I'm Christy.
And I'm Karen.
And you're listening to
The Modern Principal.
We're two school leaders who support current and future principals to modernize the approach to supporting students and staff in our schools.
We strive to do it all through our approach of scholars,
the research and evidence,
systems,
the structures that sustain,
and soul,
the emotions and human side.
And hopefully, we do it with a whole lot of laughs.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, Christy.
How's it going?
Good. I told her something really funny right before we aired.
So funny. You know what I did not tell you is while you were downstairs getting coffee, I was setting up our mics and everything, and I dropped the mic USB into my coffee. So if it goes out at any point, that is why.
Or if it's not even working. It might not even actually be working currently. We didn't test it. So who knows? Also, we're going to brunch later, and so I put on a heavier makeup today, and it's a lot to see at 9 a.m.
It looks good. That's what I always say. Whenever we record these, it's jarring because I'm on Zoom
this
most
is
of the day.
Unfiltered.
Yeah, I'm on Zoom most of the day, and I have, like, my Zoom filters, like, heavy.
Maxed. Them Zoom filters working overtime.
And then, like, extra Zoom makeup.
On top there's of like, extra makeup?
You can put Zoom makeup.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. See, I don't use Zoom enough anymore.
Yeah, I'm yeah you can, like, put lipstick and eyebrows.
Do you do it?
No.
What does when you move to the eyebrows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you move too fast, sometimes they
stay,
won't.
They lag.
Same with the lipstick. Like if you...
That's good. That is good. Also, my allergies are like ridiculous, so my eyes keep watering. I keep getting single tears.
And mine then... have been too.
Yeah. So if I'm streaking my mascara, ignore. Okay, so what's going on?
We thought we would do, this was Karen's idea, to do Tales from Teaching.
Yeah.
Our witty banter.
You know, we've been in education a long time, so we thought we'd,
throwbacks.
For me, it's like dusting off 20 years of memories. For Christy, it's like just a wink ago.
It's just a wink. Just a wink. I'm for me, practically it's like, a baby.
For me, it's like maybe I have early onset. I can't remember half of them. But
I bet you can.
I was telling Christy this story the other day. So my first year teaching was kind of beautiful chaos. It's beautiful now because I survived it.
Well, yeah.
It was chaos then.
Yeah.
I remember... this was when I had a hobby that I will not mention, and I used to take breaks during the work.
Is it a hobby or a habit?
Habit, not a hobby. And my friend and I used to go get Taco Bell every day for lunch because that's healthy when you're 22. And one of my kids' parents worked there, so I would say hey to her as we went through the drive-thru. Anyways, I would listen to Elton John, Tiny Dancer, and just scream my heart out about all the emotional turmoil I was going through as a first-year teacher. So,
right.
Beautiful chaos.
Yes.
Anyways, I had a student who I believe stole my wallet my first year. And by I believe, I mean it was stolen and he was the only one in my classroom. So it was stolen. And then, okay, so this was, I was thinking about this morning. This was this wallet I bought when I lived in Italy.
Oh.
And it was back in the days where, okay, so this was not my first designer purchase. It was not a designer purchase. It was my first knockoff designer purchase. I did buy some other designer things. Like we lived above a Tiffany's, so that was amazing. And I bought my first Gucci Sunnies that summer. Like it was just a summer where I created a lot of debt for myself. Made a lot of really great personal choices. So anyways, but this wallet was, do you remember the phase of like where things were embroidered with a different color than the wallet? So like stitched.
Yes.
So this was when that was like super hot. And I think it was like a Gucci knockoff with like bright blue stitching over a white wallet.
Oh, that sounds actually gorgeous. And it sounds very 2001.
It sounds like that student did me a favor. So anyways, my wallet stolen, cards and all. I had no cash, clearly.
No ID. So
stole everything. 2 years later, this wallet is mailed to me with just my driver's license still in there. Isn't that funny? Like it just showed up in a package. It mailed to me. I don't know if it was the student or if he like chucked it and someone else found it and was like, this was very, this goopy.
She must need her goopy wallet back.
Anyways, it was such a treat when I opened it and I was like, ah, that's my old wallet. Anyways, you're welcome. That was a tale from teaching.
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you.
The goopy's the best part. I don't have one that good. My first year, I was with Teach for America, and I wanted to teach pre-K.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to teach like little kids, but I don't know if you know anything about Teach for America, but they kind of place you wherever.
Yeah.
And
I think they placed you correctly.
I do too, in hindsight. But so anyway, I ended up teaching eighth grade ELA, but I wasn't certified for eighth grade yet. So I had to take my certification test on the first day of school.
Oh, God.
And in hindsight, I'm like, I just feel like admin should have maybe not
buffered this.
Yeah, not encouraged me to do that and whatever.
So like you had to miss the first day while taking a test?
Missed the first day. So had a sub the first day. Oh. So I, you know, prepared the heck out of it, right? I had all the copies, you know, ready by classroom. One of the activities like involved coloring or something because it was like first day of school, right? So it's not like we're going to be doing a lot of academics. I bundled markers so that each bundle had the colors of the rainbow in it.
Oh my God. Like, how many hours did you spend?
Right. But I wanted it to be like, I wanted to show the kids and that I am business. Prepared. And I am prepared, even though I'm not here.
Did your sub job.
And I came back the next day on the second day of school. And my classroom was a complete and utter disaster.
Oh, that's depressing.
There was like markers
this
everywhere.
Is a sad tale.
Not a scene. And I was.
Did you cry?
Yes.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
And it was a really good omen to what the first quarter was. Welcome.
Welcome.
I was shocked.
And appalled.
And appalled.
I, when I lead sub training now, when I used to, I'm at for subs in our school, I would always say that I would, and I didn't know your story or I would have used it, but I say the most important thing you could do is stop your lesson 10 minutes early and make sure kids pick up the room, because these poor little baby teachers are spending all their money on this stuff. Yeah. And if they come in and their candy jar is empty,
it's very upsetting.
And their whiteboards are all written on with permanent marker. It's a depression.
Yeah. I actually called my principal in October of this year and said, "Hey, I'm not coming back."
Did you come back?
I did. And I actually ended the year fantastically, and 100% of my students passed their standardized test.
Thank you. I think we should deep dive some of this a little bit deeper. Yeah. This feels also, for those of you listening at home, education's always been hard.
Always.
So we say it's really hard now and people quit in October. This one was one of them back 20 years ago.
I didn't quit. I did take a day or two off and I slept for like 48 hours straight. And that honestly helped a lot.
Yep. That's my two things. Am I tired? Am I hungry? Don't make life decisions when you're either.
Yep.
Peer-driven PD is the partner for all school administrators looking to plan authentic and relevant professional learning for their staff this school year. These video professional development sessions feature current education practitioners sharing best practices, on-demand videos that give you and your teachers autonomy, and options for singleton teachers like art, music, and other electives. Reach out to Mike at PeerDrivenPD.com and he'll set you up with a Modern Principal discount. Don't wait to see how PeerDriven PD can fit into your year-long professional development plan to help lead your staff to collective efficacy.
You may notice that we look better this week because Christy created reels from when I looked like I had just worked out.
And that's on you. That's on you.
It is on me. I hope you capture some of these gems when I talked about my habit and hobbies. Get that in a reel. Okay, let's get ready.
All right. This week we are talking.
This is your favorite topic.
It's one of my favorite topics. Mm-hmm. I do have a lot of passion about it. So anyway, this is our scenario this week. It says, I feel like I lack a vision for our school. As a classroom teacher, I knew exactly what direction I wanted to take the class, but that occurred over time and not until I had taught for several years. Does the vision as a principal come with time, or am I just not the right person for leading a building? I've been an AP for 3 years and now building principal for 2. How do I create a vision? From Visioning in Vegas.
What? My husband taught me this is what The Rock does in wrestling.
What? Does The Rock still wrestle?
No, but he showed up this week on SmackDown. Why do I know this? What is my life? Okay, that's a really good question. This is a really good scenario.
And I
feel for this little visioner in Vegas. Yeah.
I do too. And we get this question, I feel like, quite a bit, like in our DMs.
Yeah.
And I think that Karen and I had different approaches to it too, which I think is also a good thing.
Well, I think I've told this story on the pod, but for those new listeners, I remember my first year, I had a veteran teacher, like was 26 years in the same building. The most amazing kindergarten teacher. And she sits me down and says, "Hey, we will follow you wherever you're taking us. We have no idea where that is. We like you. We're here. We feel you. what's happening? What do you want from me? And I was like, okay. Great feedback. Thank you.
So it's, and I do think that that's really true about a lot of teachers. Like, and I think you hear it too. Teachers are like, just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do.
And they can like you as a leader and think like, okay, this person's got it. Like they've got all the traits. And I think they can see you have ideas up here. And you obviously were good at creating a vision within your classroom or in your other leadership roles. You're just having a hard time getting a group of 70 adults to to communicate
in the
clearly.
Same way.
Which is not something you're born with. So don't feel bad about it.
No, I think that vision is definitely something that's learned. And I think there's a couple of ways too to think about vision is I think you have to have a strong vision as an individual.
Yep.
And then I think that that is easier to do, obviously, than coming up with a vision for your school. That is somewhat jointly owned, right? Because you can't just walk into a building and also say, hey, my vision, my way, let's go.
What? I keep doing this because my lipstick matches my nails perfectly. Okay. Well, I agree with that to an extent. Like your vision for you is like who you are as a leader. And I think that's easier to do, but probably just as hard to communicate.
Yeah.
Or we forget maybe is the right thing to say. We forget to communicate. And like to narrate why we make decisions we make as a leader so that people can then understand our personal why.
Right. And I think that I actually was coaching a new principal recently, and we were kind of going over her beginning of the year slides and like her very first staff meeting. And I said, I really need you to think about what your values are and what you care about and how you're going to make decisions. And you need to figure out how you're going to communicate that to your staff. And at first it was kind of like, I don't get what you mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, even if you're really explicit, it's okay. Like I remember my first year, I literally had a slide and it says things I value.
Right.
And it said integrity, professionalism.
Right. And some of that will be in one ear, out the other until they see your actions match
absolutely.
That, of course.
Yes.
That does not surprise me that you had that. Mine was like, things I value. Shopping. Puppy dog.
But I will say, I do remember after my first meeting as principal, I had a few people come up and were like, thanks for just being really clear.
And transparent.
Yeah.
The piece of that too, like, let's go back to subs, for example. Like, I've heard principals always say like, hey, we need you to have sub plans, emergency plans, blah, 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 blah. Stick a reason why with that. Mm-hmm. And it makes it so much more valuable. So saying something like, we want kids to have continuous learning. That's important to us. We want all of our subs to feel valued and that they're a part of our team.
Prepared.
That's important to us.
Yeah.
Even just slapping that little like why you care that teachers have 2 days of emergency sub plans, just something on an expectation can help people peel the onion of you as a leader, right?
And I went about kind of defining a vision as defining a why.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, I used a lot of Simon Sinek's work.
Who doesn't love that guy? Can we get him on our pod?
Oh, yeah. He's will be our next interview.
He'll do it for free, I'm sure.
But Sinek says that your vision is only actionable if you say it out loud. If you keep it to yourself, it will remain a figment of your imagination.
Ooh.
And he also kind of defines your why as it's like a deep-seated purpose, cause, or belief that is the source of our passion and inspiration.
Yep.
And so really trying to come up with that piece for yourself and then also helping your staff to verbalize a joint and collective why and vision as
well. For the school.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes here's what I will tell you. There is nothing I hate more than spending a day workshop on creating a mission and vision for a team. So here I say that like sitting down and like parsing out verbs and like actionable, like that's not what we're saying. We're talking about spending important time around what are our passions as a school? What are our beliefs? What are all those kind of like internal things that will drive our external visible actions? So
I will say we did spend 3 hour-and-a-half sessions parsing it out. So even though Karen just said that, I actually did spend time parsing it out to get like a really clear why vision statement.
Well, and I do think that it can be good to do that. I think the reason that some of us have been burned out on that is it doesn't go anywhere, besides the paper.
Yep.
Like you spend all that working time on it and then it just dies there.
And I think too, I put at the end of our notes that we should, we should do another pod on sustaining it. So just like today, we can talk about kind of creating that vision. And then in the future, we should do a pod on sustaining it. Maybe our next pod, but that probably won't happen.
Love it. Okay. So what are your systems? How did that work look at your team?
So I completely used Simon Sinek's book, Find Your Why. So he has an entire chapter, or actually the whole book is about it, but there's a chapter that outlines three simple steps super easily. And so the three steps, the first one is gather stories and share them. And so I brought my staff together. I actually made it optional. If you wanted to attend our vision making sessions. And I would say most of the staff attended. And I opened it up to everybody, certified, classified, anybody who wanted to attend. And the very first step is gathering stories. And so we spent time in small groups just sharing stories with each other about what made us proud to be at our school.
That's awesome.
And what was really cool is if you have a veteran staff, they have a lot. And as a new principal to a building, it is like incredible to hear all of the reasons that they're proud to be a part of the school community. Mm-hmm. And then shared those with everyone. I took notes on the, on chart paper, and I didn't write like every single word of every story, but kind of summarized the story on all these pieces of chart paper, like tons and tons of chart paper. So then the second step, Simon says, is identifying themes. So after we had all these stories on paper, we worked in small groups and then as a whole group about, okay, what themes are emerging from all of these stories about why we're proud to be here?
Yeah.
And listed those themes on another piece of chart paper. And then the last step is to take those themes and draft a why statement. And he says that a why statement is, this is kind of tricky, so I'll have to like put it in the show notes or something. Yeah. But basically, our why is to blank so that blank. So something along the lines of to teach so that kids can learn. That's like super simplistic.
Got it.
But we went through and it was a really incredible process.
I remember you sharing this on a pod or something earlier, and it was right when I was getting ready to transition out of my role as principal. Mm-hmm. And we did this activity as an entrance for the new principal.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah, it was really powerful. It allowed them to kind of put into words what they respected about the work that they do in a really succinct way for the new leader. So I think doing this work at any point, not just in your first year, because some of you were listening and like, well, I've already been here for 4 years.
Right.
Do it now.
Yeah.
You would never walk into a new teacher's classroom and just let them suffer. No. You would say, pause, restart, redo everything. So do it.
Yeah.
It's never too late.
I think too, I saw myself in this process very much as the facilitator versus the mastermind. Especially because I did this at the end of my first year. I think I would recommend not trying to force a vision immediately upon entering a building.
For sure.
Unless you have some sort of intel or information that you are there as a turnaround principal, maybe. But I think it would be difficult to have the trust of your staff to do it if you did it too early.
I think so too. It might also be a little bit too vague if you don't also know some of the meat of where you want to take them.
Absolutely.
Because even though you are facilitating and not leading or masterminding, facilitation is, there's a piece of guiding involved in that. And so you knowing a portion of where you want to end up is important too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
That was a lot.
What was your system?
We did something very similar when I took over, but we didn't really develop, I wouldn't say we developed a why statement as much. We developed more of like a living motto, I think, that kind of helped. It was more of like a unifier. And now that I've learned a little bit about conscious discipline, it's a little bit kind of like that unity statement. And we developed that to guide us through the first year before we could start looking more of like the deeper work of our school improvement plan.
Right.
Because it was hard for me to write a school improvement plan my first year as a principal.
Yeah.
I mean, I could write one clearly, but like that was actually meaningful. So we just went a little bit more of like a unifier, like what were our common themes that all of us agreed to, like our adult actions, our adult commitments. And that was helpful to get me like through my first year before we could start doing some of this work.
Yeah. Did you have like, I don't know, we were talking about this before the pod started, like little sayings and stuff?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I So we talked about two different portions, kind of like the vision of you as a leader and the vision of your team. Mm-hmm. And like, I think when it comes to like you unpacking the vision of you as a leader, it's important that you kind of repeat yourself. What do you say? Yep. Your staff has to hear you say it.
I heard in a PD, and I don't have any citation, but I heard in a PD
we never do, guys.
That your staff has to hear you say something 7 times to believe that it's true, and also internalize it for themselves.
Yeah. And so I think that one of the ways you can check to see if you've been clear on your vision as a leader is to see, are like, there are any, that's what I asked Christy, are there any like sayings that your staff could rattle off that are like, ugh, I know what you're going to say.
What's funny is when she asked me that, I texted my, some of my old staff members to be like, hey, is there anything that I just said like a whole lot? Uh-huh. And they were kind of funny because they were all like, well, whenever you were with kids and they like were not following directions, like, you know, in crisis, you would just say, I'll wait. I actually learned that one from Karen.
I'll wait.
I'm like, that's not really what I was talking about.
They just knew Christy as the principal that would say, I'll wait.
What did you say?
Well, I think one of my phrases was like, I like to be really thoughtful about what we were doing. So whenever someone would have an idea that maybe was different from where my brain was, I would always say, tell me more. because I always wanted to fully understand. And yeah. They knew that. They knew that when they brought me something crazy, my first response would always be, tell me more. Not an automatic yes or no, just tell me more.
I think my staff started to share or to say a lot because I did, if you can predict it, you can prevent it.
Yeah.
And so that was one thing that I would hear come up and I was like, oh, I did say that. And it was cool to hear other people say it.
Yeah. And I don't know if I think they could always predict that we would, when it came to behavior, we would come up with a plan. Yeah. We don't punish, we plan.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. So I think there was always those kind of things that like, it was less of maybe sayings because I'm a little sporadic and chaotic, but more.
Those themes come through maybe that you said like, over and over.
What would Heil do if we weren't here? She would say, we need to get together and talk about it.
Yep. Yep. But I think that it's definitely worth spending a little time thinking about your own stories, the mm-hmm. own themes, your own values. And it's honestly not a bad idea to come up with your own quips that you've maybe heard from other people that yes. really resonated, and to be thinking, I had a post-it on my computer at one point that said, what do I want my staff to hear me say 7 times?
Oh, that's good.
And to really think through what is so important to me that I need my staff to hear me say it all the time so that we all internalize it.
Yeah, that's a really good way to think about crafting your vision as a leader.
So I don't know if that was helpful. You think it was
probably
helpful?
Not. Nah. Most of what we do is just kidding.
Just Right Reader is the decodable text company for schools who want to increase reading achievement for their phonics learners. Purchase now so your students and teachers have access to books that are aligned to the science of reading research with a clear phonics continuum, beautiful illustrations with fun stories that represent America's diverse students, and a QR code on each book that provides a mini lesson in both English and Spanish. Just Right Reader libraries have a place in each of your classroom with packs of 6 books that come for small group instruction and take-home packs that fuel family engagement. Both of these products come in both English and Spanish. Check out justwriteReader.com to increase reading achievement for your students today.
All right. So do you want to do the from the desk of the Madam
Sure.
Principal?
Okay. So this quote comes from Simon Sinek, of course, and that book Christy referenced, which is Find Your Why. Fulfillment is a right and not a privilege. Every single one of us is entitled to feel fulfilled by the work we do, to wake up feeling inspired to go to work, to feel safe when we're there, and to return home with a sense that we contributed to something larger than ourselves. For those who hold a leadership position, creating an environment in which people in your charge feel like they are part of something bigger than themselves is your responsibility as a leader. Boom. We talk about retention of staff. That's it right there. That's how you retain them. All right, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us today on the Modern Principal Podcast. If you enjoyed today's pod, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find out more on our website at www.themodernprincipal.com or Instagram @themodernprincipal.
Bye!